Good evening and welcome to a Villa Man podcast, where we're exploring this concept of creating fine young men here at Villanova College. And it's a source of great pleasure to be talking to three of our parents. All parents who at one time or another have made a deliberate choice for the community, and they share some other things in common. They've got an ex-armed services background in the infantry, in Brendan Cox's case, and he's now left and he's joined Legacy Queensland as the CEO. In the case of Manny Lynch, it was serving on destroyers, and then after a stint with the Lions, he's now working at National Storage in charge of people there. And Quentin Masson is our most recent and a very welcome arrival within the Villanova community. Started off in the same regiment as Brendan Cox, then joined the SAS regiment and saw service. All these gentlemen have seen service around the world. And since then, he's now working in a security company. All of them also share a passionate interest in looking after ex-service people and their family. For example, through Legacy, Lions, a big commitment there. And Quentin is overseeing an organization called Wandering Warriors. So, gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for all you do for the college. Everywhere we look, we see you leaning in and supporting our young men. Since 2011, when the concept of the Villa Man was first touted in the year of Christian Welsh as college captain, the boys have really taken an interest in the formation of character. So I'm wondering, looking in as parents, what are some of the qualities that you want to see in the young men graduating? And I think I'll pass to you first, Brendan.
It's always good to be first up. Look, the qualities that sort of dragged, or not dragged, but invited our family to look at Villanova as an option for educating our sons. I didn't grow up in Brisbane, so I didn't know the architecture or the schooling available here in Brisbane. But I grew up in a Catholic education down in Melbourne. And so I certainly wanted the same values-based education when Tracy and I, my wife and I, agreed to settle here in Brisbane. And it was actually a reflection of Tracy's that drew us to Villa. And she, upon graduation from year 12, had an experience at university where she studied law. And she commented, when we were looking at Brisbane, how there was one man from Villa, a Villa man in her class, in her cohort. And she was quite inspired by his humility, his social awareness that was above, I think, in those, and apologies to any lawyers out there, but there can be egos involved. And she always reflected upon her time at university in a very positive manner, and always reflected that this one man stood above or stood out from the crowd. And it wasn't his academic prowess or his sporting prowess. It was his broader focus of where he could contribute to society. So those values of, what can I do as opposed to what can I get? How can I contribute and add value to, as opposed to where can I draw from, are really important for any Villa man leaving or departing the sanctum of the college and exploring their new world beyond them.
Thanks, Brendan. And I like the way you've skillfully combined a couple of the questions. So that's very well put together. Manny, can I ask you the same question? Because you also speak so strongly about your first engagement with the college. What drew you to it? And what qualities are you looking for in your young men as they leave the place?
Yeah, thanks, John. Firstly, thank you for what you do for our boys as well. And to me, success leaves clues. I think you can sense a culture before you can see it. When I was working at the Lions at Cooperoo AFL Club, there was a training facility there. Obviously, the high standard of training that was happening on the front oval there. But then I looked across and saw a school match happening. And this is our kids were in primary school at the time. So I looked across and saw an AFL game happening, and I saw a very strong and proud V worn. And that was interesting because, it was actually just the green and gold, the proud V, it's not what they wore, it's how they wore it. You could tell they were actually, they were losing badly on the scoreboard, and they were clearly infused with non-AFL players. But the fact that they picked each other up off the ground when they were down, that they had each other's back, they passed the water bottles back, there was little things there that you could just sense that there was something about it. And it was sort of drew your eye. And then how the coaches spoke to them, it was a informal approach with formal outcomes. And I'm thinking, that's what I want for my boy. Because my boy doesn't need, he just needs a set of guidelines and barriers to nudge him along. And we hoped that. And so that, my initial impression goes, if my son wore that jumper, I'd be a proud dad, just based on what I saw in that very short period of time. And the rest is history, John.
Yeah.
It's the rest is history. One boy's passed through the college and now works there. Now, and one is going through, and everything that I hoped that day that I saw has been delivered on, and it couldn't be prouder as a dad. So what I want out of our boys that go through is, I reckon you should be able to pick them in a lineup. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean that stands tall, proud of where he came from, can join in most conversations, is strong, respectful, purposeful, and they're espoused values. But I've seen it, because my boys come through and I couldn't be prouder of what we together have worked to deliver. So hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast because he's quite embarrassed, I'm sure. But absolutely, so I'm not amazed, but just so proud that what I saw that day, years down the track, was actually delivered on. So it's called culture, right?
Yes.
How you feel. It's how you feel, when you belong to something greater than yourself.
Thanks, Manny. Look, Quentin, you're most recently into the college, and sometimes you see the terrain when you enter for the first time. So I was wondering what your take on it. Why did you bring the boys into Villanova?
Thanks, John. Look, it is great to be part of this, and the concept of the Villa Man and the engagement of the community and the families and the broader community of the school, it's great to see. And I think that in itself is a hallmark. So thanks very much for the opportunity. In terms of my experiences, I'm a bit like Brendan. I grew up out west in Roma and went to a number of different schools out there, joined the army at 17 and essentially moved every couple of years all around Australia, internationally. I've got four kids, three boys now at Villa. And they'll probably, curse me for it later in life. And we've uprooted them very regularly, taking them all around Australia, and they've seen a number of schools internationally as well. And when we moved to Brisbane, I was a bit like Brendan. I hadn't actually grown up in Brisbane, so I didn't truly have an understanding of schools. I had no real tie to any particular school. And what drew me to Villa is actually the community that sat around Villa. And it's actually, my last 20 odd years in the military and 10 odd years in corporate life, I've followed a very traditional military ethos and culture, sense of family, discipline, humility, loyalty, mutual respect, and a relentless pursuit of excellence. And the families that I came in contact with, we've got neighbours directly opposite, their kids have gone to Villa. The number of families that I know and have come to be, cherish as true friends, kept drawing me to Villa. And it was actually the family and the community that drew me to Villa. And to give you a little anecdote, the very first weekend that we'd joined, Mr. Pascoe, Brian Pascoe, the coach of the AFL team, Will had been selected prior to even turning up. He'd done these selections prior to starting school, and he turned up at our door with the jersey to give to Will, my oldest, because he knew that he wouldn't have anything. So I think that just espoused the true nature of community and has reinforced the really positive influence and experience that not only our boys have had since they've started, but us as a family.
Thank you, Quentin. I'm going to move forward to this question about you know, what is it that the college does and what is it that we should do to be deliberately and mindfully inculcating some of these qualities that you've described, ranging from the restless search for excellence to humility, to loyalty, and all, you know, wearing the three V's with pride, even if it's not going our way on the scoreboard. I think that's something where we don't want it to just be accidental. So, and there'd be, you know, areas where you might see some challenges or scope for improvement, and areas where, you know, we might be able to put a tick in the ledger. Manny, I might throw to you, since you've had a period of time to be able to reflect on this.
And I think to summarise it, and for me, that what is worked on is that every conversation matters, every relationship matters. That's what I see infused within the cohorts, that the time taken, and this is just what you see, so imagine what we don't see, is that it's the work that's not seen in the background that ends up eliciting the behaviours and the attitudes and the culture that spins out of it. So we could only imagine the care. And the Brian Pascoe scenario has happened to me as well. And I'm sure we're not the only two people who's been visited. Now, so, you know, it's not the things you have to do. It's the things that you do to demonstrate the care and the underpinning behaviours that support the culture you're espoused to have. You see it every day. And it's hard to articulate what bit got you, because it's a combination of the whole lot that makes you feel like you feel. So it's understanding the value of the relationship that, and an old skipper used to tell me that, that the axe rarely remembers what the tree never forgets. And so as you become a leader, that you've got to be very careful of how you communicate and what you say, because it really does resonate with young people. And be very, very careful what you do say, because they may just do it. And what I see within the leadership of Villa is that, and it's whether it's the year 11 or 12 leaders with their peers, or whether it's the instructors and the teachers, is that they're very careful on what they say. And that's the gold for me. Because I think the lazy leaders can just deliver. I think the ones that actually follow it up with behaviours and care, which is the Brian Pascoe analogy, that the coffees that we've had and the discussion and preparation we've had to ensure that the leadership programs, that's the goal. That's what you don't necessarily have to do. That's the stuff that pays you back, I think. So keep doing it.
Because thank you.
That's fantastic from what we've seen.
No, thank you, Manny. And, just the little things behind the scenes, that really resonates. Brendan, maybe same question to you regarding, you know, what does Villa do? What else could it do to grow these fine young men?
Yeah, thanks, John. I think Manny has really, you know, hit that nail on the head. I think Villa is a lived experience. It is demonstrated through deeds, not words. And not just a, you know, hold Brian Pascoe up as a golden child, but as a standard amongst equals. This week, my son, you know, first time ever, not, he left his lunchbox at school. I got a text from Brian Pascoe on Tuesday morning saying, "Hey, Paddy's lunchbox is here. It's outside V10, ready to be picked up." I said, "Oh, mate, look, he's got a bit of a, not feeling well. He's at home today. Guess where the lunchbox was when I drove home in the driveway? Sitting on my porch." So these are sort of demonstrations of sincerity, of a real man showing real care and concern when you just don't, you have the choice not to. But what you're seeing in this college is the encouragement through, and I love that term under the Augustine way, of the interiority search. The more time we can spend reviewing ourselves, looking inwardly to see what are our values, how can we express them? And then you complement that with teachers that you do have at Villa that express it in a very meaningful way on a daily basis. It is underpinning that wonderful culture. So the one thing I do love about Villa is your engagement in social awareness. And John, the way that you take these young men through and encourage them to contribute to community through charities, and I've seen that, of course, through Legacy, but also what you do in the Philippines. You know, it is real. It is not a curriculum that has to be delivered. It is, this is an experience I want you to take away, because I want you to be a Villa man after Villa, more so than a Villa man in Villa. And I think you're preparing the young men to think that way. And that's what my wife saw. And that's why we chose Villa, without even seeing, you know, that personal expression that Manny talked about, when you see these values being expressed in different ways through different environments. So yeah, it's that social awareness and that drilling inside yourself, what are your values, how can you contribute? I really encourage the young men to continue that path, because it makes you a stronger person into the future.
Look, thank you, Brendan. And Quentin, I think if it's all right, I won't put you on the spot with this question, let you have a little bit more experience of the college before coming on to that one. But I think Brendan's given a good segue for the next question. You've all gone on and really got involved in your careers and given every ounce of yourselves to that. And I think that's why you serve as role models for us and for the young men in our community. But you'll all have been through times of hardship in your careers of service. And I wondered if we could pick up from Brendan's point about what are your values, what keeps you going, when the waters are coming up over the side of the boat, as Manny puts it, you know, how do you keep steering due north? And maybe that one can go to you first, Quentin, if you don't mind. You've seen a fair bit of overseas service.
Yeah, thanks, John. So I think that's a really valuable reflection for the lads that are about to graduate, the Villa Man, the concept. And I think many times our lives are so busy, we often fail to take that time to reflect and really take that time to think about what it is you as an individual holds dear. I mentioned some of the things that I've used as my true north over the years: sense of family, discipline, humility, sense of humor, loyalty, mutual respect, and that relentless pursuit of excellence. But if I think back to my time when I was in year 12, I couldn't have articulated that. So I think the opportunity in this program, the Villa Man program, gives the cohort of students that are in the very latter ends of their education, it gives them a great opportunity to reflect on it. My own personal experience, I think treating everybody as equals and everybody as a leader, that's really key. And I'd push this back to the students and say, you know, what is it that you as a cohort want from Villa as you graduate? What is it that you as a cohort of students want to take away that's going to prepare you for the future? You're going to come against some significant challenges in your life. And I think working as a team collaboratively in this environment, but equally as you transition into your careers, wherever they end up, if those that fail to adapt fail, you know, the old classic Darwin quote, you know, you have to be adaptive, you have to be flexible, but you can't underestimate the value of team. And everybody has the opportunity to contribute. And as a person and as part of that cohort and as part of teams as you progress, it's very easy to fall into that trap of the leadership traps of, basically pushing forward without collaborating. So treat everyone equally, that sense of mutual respect, and treating everybody and contribute equally across the board. So there's some of the key ones that I'd add, John.
Thank you, Quentin. I might pass to you next, Manny, please.
I love hearing ex-military people talk. It's because it's uplifting. It's energizing, you know, because yeah. So many metaphors come out of our service that we can actually really impart. And for me, when times are tough, we even look at it sort of post-military when I went with them working with the Lions, and we used to set it up there a little bit like, and we said, every training session, we're training for grand final day. Right, so we're not training for the next round, we're training for the big dance. We're training for when things are going to be really difficult at their peak. So if we train like that, we prepare for that. And then when things get really difficult and we get some circumstances put on us that we haven't necessarily seen before, then we treat them as challenges. And we can either treat your mind, your body, or the environment as the opposition. And then it's you versus that. So we sort of say that these times will pass and we will reflect on these times and we'll either be really proud of where we've got to or be a little bit disappointed. And if we're a little bit disappointed, we've probably wasted that time and we know time is finite. So even to the role I have now within this organisation with the latest COVID crisis, we can find an excuse to or we can find an excuse not to. It's up to us. We ran a session recently called Let's Not Waste a Crisis. So what are the positives we're getting out of this? What learnings are we getting? What company would have the courage before a crisis like this to send everybody home and work from home to see if our connections work and our communication work and those sorts of things? Well, we've done that now. So how do we come out of that better? So it's us being able to launch out of this and be super proud of what we've done, and whatever you deem your opposition to be ahead of those if you're a competitive type like I am. And then that helps us be comfortable with the new normal, which is some uncertainty, and being able to move forward fast and be proud of where we've got to during uncertainty. And so for the young guys that are going through year 12, well, what an amazing year. What an amazing year to reflect on. But would you be a little bit disappointed on how you've acted and how you've applied yourself, or you'll be so proud that in adversity you have triumphed? And ultimately, I challenge the teams that it's a choice and a supported choice. So that's, to me, that adversity for me is actually quite exciting sometimes, because you can really see behaviours and performance and reaction and help manage that, because I want to celebrate the good times with those who have had each other's back in the tough times. And to me, that can be in schools, in military, in corporate environments. It's part of the cultural piece.
Thanks very much, Manny. And thank you for sort of tailoring that for, you know, one of our likely audiences here who've had to sort of, cope with a set of circumstances that they can't change, but they've got to think about their response. And that moves us to Brendan. And you mentioned the interiority searches. You know, what did you find within yourself when, you know, challenge and hardship came your way?
Yeah, it's interesting. Manny touched upon the rituals that you establish in your life. What becomes important to you to be honest with yourself, I think, is really important. Now, for a college like Villa, for some students that may have a religious connotation, for others it may have a sporting connotation, but you must find the time to look inwardly and understand, as adversity hits, as the example, what were my actions? Upon reflection in days to come, were they the right ones or were they the wrong ones? So, you know, and I've spoken to a few of the year 11, year 12 classes in the past. Now, when I was on operations, I became the best Catholic in the world. I'd actually pray the rosary each night. Now, I'm not overly selling the religious element. All I'm saying is that was a ritual of my youth, that I grew up in an Irish Catholic family. The reason my mum and dad came from Dublin is because my uncle was a founding monk of a Cistercian Abbey down in Victoria. So these rituals I drew upon in adversity to do that interiority search, make sense of the new environment that I was in, and get control of the mind, get control of my actions to deliberately live out the values within this challenging space. So that will be different things to different people, but all you can do is encourage the learnings of Villa, what resonates with you in that adversity that you can then take forward as a tool to assist you. It won't have all the answers. Ultimately, the answers are within. So you just got to find a way to explore that. So if the young men, graduating, they look at their current year, this is a different year. It's just different rituals. So previous years had had different environments. Don't reflect upon what you don't have. Reflect upon the opportunity to redesign these final 4, 5, 6 months within your college and make it something so memorable. It will actually create a stronger brotherhood than diminish, the experiences of previous classes.
We're going to leave tonight's podcast at that point. Next time, we'll be looking particularly at the area of mental health. But for now, my warm thanks goes to Manny Lynch, Brendan Cox, and Quentin Masson for sharing their insights and making them so articulate. Thank you.